The greatest question that a person could ever ask is, what must I do to be saved? Only the Word of God can give us the answer to that great question. When we search the Word of God, we find that faith is essential. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." The Bible would also teach us that a person would need to repent of their sins. In the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 30, as Paul preached to those in Athens, he spoke to them concerning God whom they did not know. And he talked about that he commands all men everywhere to repent. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul talked about confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I think when we study the Bible, and whomever we might be studying the Bible with, certainly this great question, God gives us the answer. And you rarely find anybody that would debate and say that believes in God, that believes in Jesus Christ, that believes the Bible is the Word of God, that would in any way reject or contradict these three points. Everyone basically would say, yes, you have to have faith in God, and you need to repent. You need to change your life, and you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no doubt about that. But when we study the Bible more closely, and the idea of baptism is brought up, then there's controversy. People have all kinds of differing ideas about this concept of baptism. Well, when we talk about the idea of salvation, some promote the idea of faith only. Does faith only save us? Now, when we say faith only, I'm not sure that proponents of that particular doctrine would concede and say, well, that doesn't mean you don't have to repent. That doesn't mean you don't have to confess. Well, when we talk about faith only, wouldn't that mean faith only? That repentance and confession would not be a part of it. But we read in the Bible that there's really not anything only that we do that saves us. There's not anything only that we do that will save us. In John, the 12th chapter, we find something that is very interesting about salvation and some folks who believed. In John 12 and verse 42, the Word of God says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him." Well, now if we stop right there, if you were a proponent of faith only saves, then these Jews who believed in Him were saved. That would have to be the logical conclusion. But the text goes on to say, "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Now, what were they unwilling to do? They believed in Jesus, but they were unwilling to confess Him. Is that significant? Well, Jesus says in Matthew 10 that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But he goes on to say, but if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So here we have a very sticky situation. We have a group of people who say that they believe in Jesus, but they're not willing to confess. Would that faith save them? I think the text would indicate that they were not saved. For in verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. When you come to obey Jesus Christ and petition Him, what must I do to be saved? Would He say you need to believe in Him? Absolutely. Would we need to confess Him? Yes. But what if I say to the Lord, Lord, I believe in You, but you know, I don't want to confess You because that's going to put me in a bad light with all of my friends at work and where I live. And I really don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. So Lord, I'm not going to confess You, but just know this, I believe in You. That would be faith only. There is nobody that's going to say, oh, these people were saved anyway. Well, then it's not faith only, is it? When we consider the idea that the demons believe and they are not saved, James says in James 2:19. And I've always thought that's an interesting text because the text says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Did you know that there were even demons that confessed Jesus Christ? We learn in the book of Luke chapter 4 that there were demons who confessed that Jesus, what do we have to do with You, Jesus, Thou Son of God? Have You come to torture us before the time? Now here we have a very difficult thing to deal with. Here is a being that believes in Jesus and confesses Him, but they're not saved. In Luke 6 and verse 46, our Lord said, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is faith essential? Yes. Must you confess Jesus Christ? Yes. We have examples of people doing both of those things and still not saved. I think it's important for us to understand that when we ask the question, what must I do to be saved? It's not that we look at the Word of God and we just pick out a couple of things, including baptism. That we don't look at baptism only and say, this, well, as long as you get dunked in the water, you'll be fine. And I'm concerned that there are so many that think that's what we believe. Well, the key to the whole thing, if you just get them wet, then they're good. The Bible doesn't teach that. So this morning, what I would like to do in the short period of time that we have, I would like to talk to you about the importance of being baptized into Christ. And my lesson is not intended in any way, shape, or fashion to diminish in any way faith, repentance, or confessing. But rather to demonstrate that all of that works together and answers the question, yea, God answers the question, when asked, what must I do to be saved? Now, when we're considering baptism, there's a lot of things that people say. There are people that say that it's not necessary. There are people that say it is necessary. Now, one of a couple things about this. Somebody's wrong here. We can't all be right. And the religious society today has come to that point to where there are many that are okay with all the churches teaching different about this topic. There are people that are fine. Well, if you say it's not necessary, that's cool. You can still go to heaven. If you teach it's necessary, that's cool. You can go to heaven. Well, there are folks that say that you're saved before you're baptized. You express your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He saves you and you're baptized at a later time to express and to show that you have been saved. It is that which sometimes people say. It is that which is a outward show of the inward grace that you've already received at the point of faith. There are those that believe you're saved after you're baptized. some would just simply say, if you have faith, you believe, you repent, you confess, and if you stop there and you haven't been baptized, you're not going to be saved. Well, would it be correct to say that a person repented and confessed and was baptized, but they don't believe, would they be saved? No. What about a person that believed but wouldn't repent but confessed Jesus Christ and was baptized? Would they be saved? You see, when God commands us to do something, which one can we leave out? Which one can we say that's not important? So the question, what must I do to be saved, is an important one. Does it make a difference since He has commanded in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? You cannot ask the question, what must I do to be saved, and not consider what Jesus said about being baptized. You can't just toss that aside and say that's not important. Well, some people get baptized to join a church. What does the Bible teach that? Well, what does the Bible say about it? So, for the next couple of moments, let's look at some very simple points that I hope will help us for ourselves to examine ourselves. We're thankful for the presence of every single one of you here today. We've got those who are visiting. We thank you for coming. It's good to see the members that are here. But there's no greater question that you could ask at the beginning of 2018, am I saved? What did I do to get saved? Am I saved based upon something that some man has taught? Or am I saved based upon what God has said? And if we're interested in trying to help others to see the gospel, to see Christ, to be saved from their sins, would we know what to tell them? How would we explain it to them? So I hope the lesson is beneficial to us today. Well, we've talked about faith, repentance, and confession, have we not? And the lesson today is not intended to go into a lengthy, detailed study of all the passages, but I want to make some simple points with some simple passages to present to you a simple truth. When we talk about faith, repentance, and confession, we've already looked at passages that teach those are essential. But the Bible would teach us in a number of passages that faith, repentance, and confession leads us in the direction of Christ. And that's important. Let's notice just a couple of those simple passages. Notice, if you will, with me, the book of John, chapter 1 and in verse 12. John chapter 1 and in verse 12. This text says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Now, you don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to be a linguist. You just have to be able to be old enough, mature enough to read the English language. And what we have in our English translations represents per exactly what the original language has spoken to us. And when you read the English, you can understand what the Greek was. You can understand what God intended us to know. Now, you trust in God by faith, as Jesus said, "Not one jot, not one tittle shall pass away from my word until all these things be fulfilled." I trust that when I read this, that God has preserved for us His truth. Now, what did He say? He said those that believe have the right to become children. He did not say, if you believe, you're a child of God. There's a difference. The point is that belief is the process of heading toward Jesus. When you read in other passages, like in the book of Acts chapter 11, you find another similar example about faith, repentance, confession all together. meaning the idea that it leads us to Christ. Acts 11 and verse 18, the text says, "And when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" You see, when a person hears the gospel and he believes it, he has faith, he then, with that faith, he understands he's in sin, so he changes his life, and he confesses Jesus Christ as the Son of God. What is he doing? He is in the process of the gospel changing his heart. When his heart is changing, his actions are changing. And what is he doing? He's heading toward Jesus. That's what he's doing when you have faith and repentance and confession. You're going in that direction. You say, "Well, I don't understand why you emphasizing that." Well, because of this concept. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 27, there's an interesting statement made about baptism. And in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 26 and 27, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now here's something that is significant for us to think about. What does "in Christ" mean? But whatever "in Christ" means, baptism is what puts you in there. Faith, repentance, confession lead you in the direction of Christ. But it is baptism, according to this passage, that puts you in Christ. You can go in the direction of a house. But when you go through the door, then you enter the house. The language, both in the original and the English, accommodates that very concept. And what we're learning from Scripture is, faith only does not put you in Christ. Repentance only does not put you in Christ. Confession only does not put you into Christ. Now hold on. Just being baptized does not put you in Christ. It's when you have faith and you repent and you confess and you're baptized that puts you in Christ. It's the totality of the walk of faith toward God. I think it's important for us to see such passages as Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We look at this particular passage and a beautiful passage that says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So again, whatever "in Christ" means, it's in Christ where all the spiritual blessings are. So if it's faith, repentance, confession that leads you to Christ, you don't get all the spiritual blessings yet. It's when you're baptized into Christ where the spiritual blessings are. So it's the process of what must I do to be saved. Let's look at something else that might help. In this Galatians 3, 26 and 27 that we read just a moment ago, I read both verse 26 and 27, but I want you to understand this little word "for." It's a preposition. But it connects the two passages. And really, what we're looking at and what we're concerned about is that verse 27 says we're baptized into Christ. The word "for." The idea of "for" here is that whatever we did to get into Christ, for, it is the same thing that we did to become sons of God. Now let's read that again. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Faith only? No. "For," here's the connection, "for as many of you that believed, as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So verse 26 and 27 is a very simple passage that teaches a very simple principle. That when we were baptized into Christ, it changed who we are. before we were in Christ, we were outside of Christ, and we were not sons of God. But when you're baptized into Christ, the blessing, where all the blessings, the spiritual blessings are in Christ. What's one of the spiritual blessings you get in Christ? You're a son of God now. Another way of expressing that, you're a child of God. When we become children of God, what blessing do we receive for being a child of God? Well, Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 talks about that. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, the Spirit of God, through the Word, it bears witness with my spirit, my soul, that we are children of God. How does it do that? When I read this, the Holy Spirit bears witness to me that when I have done what God said do, then I'm a child of God. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So if you're a child of God, then you're an heir with Christ to God. What does that mean? We will receive the inheritance of all that is God's in heaven, if you're in Christ. You see, for we were all baptized into Christ. What is the significance of being in Christ? Well, that's where all the spiritual blessings are. So if you were not baptized into Christ, then you're outside of Christ. What does that mean? You're not a child of God. What does that mean? You're not going to heaven. See the power of that? It's a great, great truth that we must come to understand and appreciate that God's Word teaches. But then let's notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The Word of God there says, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek. You know the beauty of this is? It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter anything about anything. When one decides to respond to God's "what must I do to be saved?" question, and you have faith, you repent, you confess, and you're baptized into Jesus Christ, God didn't put all the black people over here in this little place. He didn't put all the white people over here in this little place. He didn't put all the rich people in this, you know, good place, and put all the poor people over here in this other place. Do you know where He puts people that obey Jesus Christ? All in the same body. There is no partiality with God. He is no respecter of persons in any shape, form, or fashion. Now someone says, well, Brother Slee, what does he mean when he says we're all baptized into one body? Well, Paul defined for us that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. He says the body's the church. Now I want you to get this picture. We're talking about very simple, basic Bible truths. And what must I do to be saved? The body's the church. Yet we hear people all the time say, oh, you can be saved and you don't have to join any church. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be saved, and you don't have to be a part of any church. My challenge would simply be this. Where in the Bible do you read that? When in actuality, the body is expressed throughout the New Testament as being the church. And you know what the church is? It's the saved of God. Now, isn't that interesting? What does in Christ mean? In Christ also means in His body. What is the body? Jesus said, And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The body is the church. The church is the body. One is baptized into the body. We are not used to saying we are baptized into the church. Many times we want to quote Acts 2 and verse 47, the King James, when it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as being saved." And that is absolutely, positively correct. Because it's not until we go in the direction of Christ by believing and repenting and confessing that when we're baptized, it's not something I did, although I submitted to God's will. It wasn't in the power of the preacher, the one baptizing the person. I didn't do anything. The person baptizing didn't do anything. But yet, the person that submitted to God's will submitted to being baptized, and God performed His salvation through grace upon this person and put him in Christ, put him in the body, put him in the saved group. That's what that means. So someone wants to argue and say, well, I'm good with having faith in Jesus, and I'm good about repenting and confessing Jesus Christ, but I don't know about that. That seemed like a work to me. Faith is a work, my friend. Faith is a work. It is something you do. Repentance is a work. It is something you do. Confession is a work. It is something you do. Baptism is a work. It is something you do. But it is God's work. And it's not meritorious. It is not that you do those things and you merit God's salvation. It is God's grace that you do these things. And He says, by my grace and by my mercy and my love, I will forgive you of your sins and you will be in my Son's body, the saved. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. It's not something we earned. And if somebody argues, well, I'm not going to do any work because, we're saved by the grace of God. And that's true. Paul said in Ephesians 2, we are saved by His grace. It is the gift of God, lest of works, lest any man should boast. Now people read that and say, well, if it says lest of works, lest any man boast, therefore we can't do any works. That is not true. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should obey them. Abraham was a man of righteousness. He was a man of faith. He was the friend of God. Abraham was commanded of God to take his son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice. What if Abraham had said, no way, Lord. I'm not doing that. Would Abraham have continued to be a man of righteousness, a man of faith, a friend of God, when God commanded him to do a work and Abraham said no? I think we're all in agreements here. So when Abraham goes up and he offers his son, and right at the point that he's going to kill his son and offer him as a sacrifice, God through the angel stops him from doing that, but yet God reckoned it unto Abraham. In other words, He gave him credit. He declared him justified. He declared him righteous because he was obedient to what God told him to do. So Abraham could come off that mountaintop with his son Isaac and said, man, you ought to be proud of me today, son. Man, I earned our salvation today. Ain't no way Abraham would have ever said that, because it wasn't true. When you come up out of that watery baptism grave, that grave of baptism, I've never baptized anyone that immediately said, oh, look what I have earned. Look what I have merited. I have done these works that God owes me salvation. I'd have to say right then, and this never happened, but I'd have to say right then, dry off, we need to go study the Bible because you just got wet. You didn't obey the Lord. Because salvation is not earned on my part. Being baptized is simply obeying what God commanded. And even after we've done what the Lord has commanded, we are still undeserving. The beauty and the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught to us in the book of Romans chapter 6. And this passage probably is most familiar to all of us. And Paul said in Romans chapter 6, notice beginning in verse 3, he says, "Or do you not know that many of us, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus?" You notice how it keeps emphasizing that. You're baptized into Christ. Never do you see faith into Christ, repentance into Christ, or confession into Christ, but you're baptized into Christ. That is the means, that is the mode, that is the action, the work of faith that puts you in Christ. And you say, "Well, Brother Slee, why is that?" Because God said so. That's what God commanded us to do. And the text goes on to say, "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been baptized or been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." Two great figures wherein we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. One, the Lord's Supper. We eat the bread, we drink the fruit of the vine, we remember the death of our Lord. But then another figure, being baptized. This passage teaches us that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He shed His blood, they buried Him. The third day, by the power of God, He arose from the dead, never to die again. What did we do when we were baptized? We died to sin. What do you do with dead people? Bury them in water. And in that water, we contact the blood of Jesus Christ in His death. And when God raises us up, spiritually, every sin is washed away. So my baptism is likened to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What person would say, "Oh, I don't need to be baptized to be saved," when the Apostle Paul draws the specific analogy to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord? And the beauty of it is, it has to do with His death. We are baptized into His death. What is the significance of being baptized into His death? Because that's where He shed His blood. Now, these two phrases I'd like to show you quickly, then I'll let the lesson be yours. Remember Matthew 26 when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper right before He was killed? Talking about the fruit of the vine. He says, "This is My blood for the remission of sins." Remember that? Lord's Supper. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter and the rest of the apostles, when they preached the first gospel sermon, the Jews said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What was they asking? "What must I do to be saved?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." Notice that Matthew, the Lord said, that the blood that the fruit of the vine represents is for the remission of sins. That when you're baptized, it's for the remission of sins. Now that's just one coinkydink. You notice in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the scriptures talk about we are washed in the blood from our sins. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." You have to have help not to connect the dots on that. The dots that are connected is that the blood is what forgives our sins. Would you agree? Where do you contact the blood of Jesus Christ? Not when you believe in Jesus. Not when you repent of your sins. Not when you confess Jesus Christ. But when you're baptized into the death of Jesus is when you contact the blood. And that's when your sins are forgiven. As the old brother used to say, if you can see through a ladder standing up here, you can see that. You can see that. It's a simple point. Why should you be baptized today? Because that's what Jesus commanded you to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe? Then remember what the Lord said. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do what I say? Acts 2:38, Peter said, it's for the remission of my sins. It's for the forgiveness of my sins. So what does that say? If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, what about your sins? You still got them. You still got them. But when you're baptized into Christ, now please, that's the way we preach it and talk it so much. We just say you need to be baptized and your sins will be forgiven. Do not misunderstand. Faith, repentance, and confession lead you to Christ. You have to do those things as well. And when you're baptized into Christ, your sins will be forgiven. Saul of Tarsus, he was baptized and had his sins washed away. So I might even say to you, as Ananias said to Saul, "Why? What are you waiting on? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now what was it that forgave your sins? Is there great power in this water? Is there some kind of chemical that we get in Jimmy from time to time? He throws that in and it makes that water special? Nothing special about that water. We can baptize you in the old muddy Jordan. I've been over there and I've seen this hundreds of people lined up that are Christians going to be baptized in the Jordan simply because Jesus was baptized there. It's not the water. It's the command of God to be baptized into water. Laman learned that. Why should I go over there and dip in that old dirty Jordan? Here's why you do it. God told you to. And when you do what God says, He'll forgive you. It'll wash away every sin. Why should you be baptized? Some people really search hard and try to figure out, well, baptism never says to save. Well, it does. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not baptism only, not faith only, not repentance only, not confession only, not anything only, but all of that works together to the glory of God and to our salvation. What must you do to be saved today? There's water in the baptistry in there, Jimmy. The water in there? I heard him say the other day it was a little cold. It's been so cold that it's been hard to keep up with keeping it warm. My guess is it might be just a little bit frigid. But I tell Jimmy each and every time he mentions that it doesn't bother me a bit to get in there in cold water. I'll have my hip boots on. Or whoever's going to baptize you will have their hip boots on. They'll get in there. And those hip boots are not insulated. And it will get bone-chilling cold standing in there. But you standing in there in just those little old pajamas, it'll freeze you to death. But I tell you what. I tell Jimmy, don't worry about the temperature of that water. Because when people get in that water and their teeth are chattering, they'll never forget it. You'll remember the day you got into that bone-chilling water. You know why? Because it'll give you the warmest peace that you possibly can have to be forgiven of your sins. Do you believe in Jesus today? Will you come repenting, changing your life, confessing He is the Son of the living God? Be immersed so that every sin can be washed away. And you will be in Christ. God will put you in the body of the saved. What a blessing. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And we're going to encourage you to obey Jesus today. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Now I love to proclaim this, speaking silently.